Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you notice, you can't miss the screen. Maybe you saw the sign coming in the parking lot. The title of our message this morning is The Key to Life in a Nutshell. Based on our gospel reading this morning, especially finding our theme in these verses one more time, a lawyer asked Jesus a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And a second is like to it, said Jesus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend the entire law and the prophets. Again, our title, The Key to Life. In a nutshell, please follow the sermon outline provided for you on your handout this morning. Well, I'm sure you've heard the expression sometime in your life, in a nutshell. Often it refers to the wonderful ability some people have to summarize, to explain complex and lengthy instructions and guidelines by using just a few simple words, summing it all up, so to speak, in a nutshell. Years ago, when I was in high school, 40th reunion is this summer, my best friend and I decided to enter a countywide science fair. We brought home the printed instructions and the printed regulations, and there were pages and pages of these instructions and regulations. We were eager to get started, but we couldn't wade through all the information. We were so frustrated. Why didn't the organizers of this county science fair make it simpler for us? We didn't know what to do until we went to my best friend's father. And he explained in very simple terms, in just a few words, what the instructions had to say. In effect, he put it all in a nutshell. Well, this boyhood experience is not unlike what you and I face every day of our lives. We're confronted with a multitude of instructions, demands, and opinions telling us what to do, what not to do, what product to buy, what kind of person to be, what we should own, what we have to do to enjoy the good life. Every day, it seems there's a new demand or new opinion or new instruction given to us. And with this never-ending list, we get frustrated. Often I find myself saying, don't you? Why can't life be simpler? We yearn for the key to life in a nutshell. Well, in today's gospel reading, Jesus is asked to sum up all of the instructions of his day. He's asked to sum up all the teachings of the God's prophets and the law in the Old Testament of Scriptures. This is thousands of years of instruction. In effect, Jesus is being asked by a man to put it all in a nutshell. As we study this text, Jesus tells us, there's only one instruction for us. To accept what He has given to us. To accept what He has done for us. But from this instruction, He says, flow two simple guidelines for life with ourselves and with our fellow man. Today's gospel lesson has it all. Again, in a nutshell. A lawyer. Not what we think about when we think about lawyers today. A lawyer who at that time was an expert in God's law and commandments came to Jesus to test him and said, teacher, what's the greatest single commandment? It was an important question for this man because he belonged to a religious group that had recorded no less than 613 individual laws for daily living. This peculiar number, by the way, was reached by adding together the number of the parts of the human body, 248, to the number of days of the year, 365. But Jesus cuts through it all and quickly gets to the point. He says that all of God's will for us can be summarized with these guidelines. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." Jesus said, "This is the greatest commandment." And then he said, "But a second is like unto it. You shall love also your neighbor as yourself." Now let's closely examine Jesus' words as he gives us the key to life in a nutshell. And we're going to focus on three key words. It's on your outline. Love, like, and self. Love, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God." This love spoken here is a sacrificial love, a self-giving love, a Calvary kind of love. Loving God with heart, mind, and soul means to love God with our entire being, with everything that we are, with everything that we have, and to value Him above all else. The second word is like. Jesus said, the second guideline is like the first. You shall also love your neighbor as yourself. Loving my neighbor, loving those people around me in my neighborhood, my work, my school, my family, is like, Jesus says, loving God. It's just as important. You can't have one without the other. You see, Jesus says, we love God by loving our neighbor. Loving the neighbor is just a practical way for us to show our love for God. Maybe this illustration will help explain it. In an old-fashioned boiler room that heats buildings, it's impossible to look inside the great boiler, which is closed up, to see how much water is in there. But running up beside it is a small glass tube which serves as a gauge. As the water stands in the glass tube gauge, so it stands in the boiler. When the tube is half full, the water in the boiler is half full. When the tube is empty, the boiler is empty. Now, if you ever ask the question, how do I know? How do I know that I love God? Look at the gauge. Your love for neighbor can be an accurate measure of your love for God. 1 John chapter 4 says the same thing. Listen carefully. John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His only Son as payment for our sins. And now we love because He first loved us." If someone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Love, like, and the third key word, self. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty clear words. No need to get complicated here. Care for others as you would care for yourself. If you are hurt by things like hunger or cold or fear or loneliness, certainly you would work to relieve yourself of these things that hurt you. Do the same for your neighbor. Here's another way to look at it. Think about a time in your life when you were hurting, when you were in need physically, spiritually, or emotionally. What was it that you needed at that very moment? Well, that is the same thing that's now needed by your neighbor who's going through the same thing you went through. So, God's people, go for it. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Now, in conclusion, Jesus tells the lawyer that this basic formula, love for God, love for neighbor, and love for yourself, is a summary of all of God's commandments. It's the key to life in a nutshell. Okay, but we have a problem, and it's a big problem. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we must come to the inescapable conclusion, we cannot fulfill this love formula. When we honestly look into our own hearts, we must admit that such love of God, such love of neighbor, and such love of self is beyond us. Why? Because first and foremost, we don't love God with our heart, mind, and soul. At best, we have a partial love for God, a partial love that can easily lead to no love. We are first commandment breakers, putting other things before God on a daily basis. And in doing this, we lose our grasp on His love and forgiveness for us. And then comes the proverbial domino effect. Not receiving His love and forgiveness leads us to a lack of love for ourselves, which in turn makes us unable to love our neighbor. My friends, our sinful situation can be summed up in this way. Listen carefully to these words. I have chosen them carefully. We don't love our neighbor truly because we don't love ourselves properly. And we don't love ourselves properly because we don't love our God supremely. How can this circle of lovelessness be broken? The bad news is this. We cannot do anything about it. But the good news is this. Our dear God has done something about it and is doing something about it even now. God our Father has seen us as we are, separated from Him, unloving and unlovely. And what does He do? Martin Luther says this, and I quote, God makes the unlovely into loveliness. Let me say it again. God makes the unlovely into loveliness. What does that mean? God loves us so much that He seeks after us to give us what we need the most, the gift of Himself and His presence. Now, God has fully given to us the gift of Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Upon Jesus at Calvary's cross, God the Father has laid the sins of us all. God has laid upon Jesus the lovelessness of us all. And make no mistake about it, it killed Jesus. But Jesus rose from the grave. And in Jesus' Easter resurrection, we who are unlovely because of our sins have been forgiven. And you, as forgiven people, have been made lovely in the presence of Almighty God. In Jesus Christ, Almighty God continues to reach out to us, continues to make us unlovely sinners, His beloved sons and daughters. Through the church that our Lord established, He continues to give us the gift of Himself in the preaching and teaching of His Word, in the waters of holy baptism, in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. He comes to us through the fellowship of other believers. My friends, this is why we gather Sunday after Sunday as Trinity Lutheran Church, that our Lord might make the unlovely into loveliness. Why'd you come this morning? Hopefully you came because you know God is here in this holy place. And He is here to love us, to break the circle of lovelessness. He is here to restore us to Himself, to restore us to our neighbor, to restore us to ourselves. How can we possibly understand the passion of God's love for us? How can we try to explain the fervor of God's love for us? Loving us so much that He would give up His beloved Son for sinners like you and me. Here's what Martin Luther says. Quote, "If we could understand God's love for us, our joy would be so great, we would probably die because of it." Well, then, what are we to do with our humble realization of God's love for us? Jesus gives us the answer. Simply and directly as He only can in the text for today, He says, "Knowing God's love for you, now you shall love the Lord your God with heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He says, you shall, not a burdensome law, not a oughta, gotta, shoulda, but you shall. You will be able to. St. John puts it this way, we love because He first loved us. Our God, our Heavenly Father, says to us, and I want you to listen to these words because these are the words of the Father to your heart today. Not to your neighbor. Not to the person sitting next to you, but to you. God, your Father, says to you, "You are my beloved child. And you will love because it's my intent and pleasure that you do so. I have chosen you," says God, "and I will show you how to love. You will love because I first loved you." And God asked you, "Where have I first shown my love to you? Look at that cross. See there my love in human flesh. See there my love dying for you and for your sins." And now God says, "My love, Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, is living in your hearts and living in the midst of God's people. And as you draw near to Him, God says, I will teach you how to love. And when you fall, and when you fail," says our Heavenly Father, "I am there to pick you up and to forgive you." God says to you, "Don't forget, I am your Heavenly Father, and I love you." Love for God, love for neighbor, love for self. I'm going to end this sermon by sharing a true story from my childhood that illustrates how this truth shows itself in real life. Years ago, being raised in Spokane, Washington, on a dairy farm, a dear friend of our family owned a ranch in northern Idaho. Nothing came before that ranch in this man's life. It soon consumed his everyday and pushed what little he had of God out of his life. The only contact he had with God was through his special needs son. The special needs son who went to the school at the church. One fall afternoon, this man was at work, hard at work, repairing a fence post out in his pasture. He just replaced the post, and the son came to him and said, "Dad, Daddy, would you please read a Bible story to me?" And the man said, "Not now, I don't have time. I'm busy working on this fence post." The boy was silent for a moment, this beautiful little Down syndrome boy, and said, "Daddy, you always have time for God. Someday, this post is going to rot and fall over, but God's always here." The man kept on working and said, "Ah, this post is going to last for years. What does this boy of mine understand anyhow?" Well, the next spring, the man was out in his field and noticed that new fence post was tilted. And when he got to it and jiggled, he discovered it was rotten below the ground level. And soon he saw a picture of his own life in this rotted fence post. What he had loved, what he had trusted was not going to last. He needed something. He needed someone on whom he could depend that would last and love him forever. To make a long story short, out of the mouth of the special needs little boy came words that changed the life of this man for eternity. Almighty God used this event to help him discover his love for him. This man became my godfather, Carl. And he became one of the big influences in my life to get me into church, to keep me into church, a lifelong relationship with Christ, and a desire to one day become a pastor. Through the words of a special needs boy, God loved my godfather into his kingdom. And my godfather learned to love God, learned to love himself, learned to love his neighbor. And then through my godfather, God loved me into his kingdom. And God, over these past 35 years of ministry, has used a sinner like me to love many others into his kingdom as well. If you've listened to no other part of the sermon, listen to these words now. Oh, how much God, your Heavenly Father, loves you. He will stop at nothing to reach us and others with his love. He will even use a rotted fence post to change lives for eternity. Oh, the great love of God for all of us sinners at the cross of Calvary. In view of this great Calvary love, my friends, it is now our joy to do this very thing, to love the Lord our God with our heart, with our mind, and with our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God grant it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering. Thank you. It is our privilege and joy, O Lord, to return to you a portion of all that you have given to us, our lives and all of our resources. Help us, O Lord, to be generous givers. We give because you first gave to us. In the name of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.